Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if we will. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you're like me, whenever you approach a chapter in the Bible, there's always a subject that you associate it with that you've memorized and such. And whenever somebody mentions about 1 Corinthians 6, oh, that's believers going to law against each other. Or something like that. But there's a lot more than just that in that particular chapter. I want us to look at verses 9 through 20. And we're going to look at the subject, different by design. Notice what it says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now in the original, the definite article, the unrighteous, is not there. It's what they call anarthrous. And it's looking at a class of people whose lives are characterized by the sins that are mentioned in verses 9 and 10. And it says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Don't be carried off into another orbit somewhere. Planao, don't go off into your own planetary course on this thing. Don't be deceived. The Bible says, neither fornicators, that speaks of people living in physical immorality, when it occurs by itself, as it does in this particular passage, it would include all major forms of immorality. It would include adultery as well as fornication or premarital sex. It says neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers nor effeminate nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But notice the wonderful truth. We're different by design. It says, such were some of you. You know, there's hope. There's no sin that the Lord cannot deliver us from. All of those horrible sins in verses 9 and 10, here it says, such were some of you, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. You know, we ought not to look at verses 9 and 10 and have a Pharisaical attitude of, I'm not like those guys. I do this and I do that, and I'm not like this publican over here and this and sinners and all of that. We ought to look at verse number 11 and we ought to be so filled with gratitude and appreciation for what the Lord has delivered us from. And we're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me. He's speaking about not those sins as being lawful, but he's dealing with the areas that are that which would be considered Christian liberty. Those things are lawful, but all things are not profitable or expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall both destroy it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. And the old Gnostic view that the body was something that was evil and that it really didn't matter how you treated it, that was found in the Corinthian church because it was entrenched in the city of Corinth. But notice here it says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ. This is a great truth of the new covenant, that we are members of his body through regeneration. Our bodies are the members of Christ. And now notice how he shocks them and says, "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Have ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." The sexual union is a picture of the one flesh relationship that belongs to marriage. And, of course, marriage is a picture of our union with Christ as one body. But being joined to a harlot is immorality. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now, I want to give us three principles here where we are different by design, and they're found in verses 19 and 20. First of all, in verse 19, we are, number one, mark it now, a privileged people. We are a privileged people. Notice what it says. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You know, back in the Old Testament, people would enter into the temple and worship the Lord. But here in the New Testament, think of it, our privilege, the Lord has made us the temple, and he is the one that has come in. What a beautiful truth that our bodies are sacred and we are to treat them in a sacred fashion. We are a privileged people. Our bodies are the very present, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then the second thing I want you to notice in verse 20, actually verse 19, let me just step back and amplify one thing about being a privileged people. And that is this: we are not our own. We belong to him, of course, you see. And we are a privileged people. Now, look at verse 20. We're not only a privileged people, but we are a purchased people. For ye are bought with a price. We're a privileged people, but we are a purchased people. We're bought. We are owned by the Lord. We are not our own. And we are honored because, you see, he bought us with the price. Look at the price that Jesus paid, that God paid for us. He sent his son who died on the cross. The sacrifice and the separation that took place in the kenosis. I saw a video that exemplified the kenosis in a unique way. And it wasn't that I didn't know it, but sometimes when you see a video, it just portrays it in a unique way. But it showed Jesus coming as a baby and Mary holding him and her having to bathe him and her having to help him to learn how to walk. And he was the one that flung the galaxies and got the courses of nature and spoke, and worlds came to be. And yet when he came, he limited himself to such a degree that he could not even cleanse himself or what he needed to learn how to speak. All of this was part of redemption's plan because, you see, we're a privileged people and we're a purchased people. But look at the latter part of verse 20. We are a purposeful people. We have a purpose. We are to glorify God. And notice, it doesn't say in your theology or in your message. It says in your body. In other words, our body is the vessel through which we serve the Lord. And we're to glorify him. Think of what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. May it be our goal to realize that we're a privileged people, that we are a purchased people and the price that he paid, but also a purposeful people. I'm going to give you a little bit of a quiz on sports and see how astute you are on this. I'd like for you to give me three sports that you can win going backwards. Anybody want to posit a guess? Three sports that you can win going backwards. How about rowing?
Yeah.
Backstroke swimming. That's good on the rotator cuffs, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Tug of war. Yeah. But you know what? In every other area, in every other sport, and in the Christian life, the Lord wants us to remember that we're to go forward. You remember what it said in Hebrews? Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And let's remember what it says in verses 19 and 20. We're a privileged people. Don't ever forget your pedigree. By grace, you're privileged. The Lord is living within you. You're a purchased people, and we're a purposeful people, and we want to fulfill his purpose, and our greatest purpose is doxological, to bring glory to the Lord. And I believe that's why we believe in prayer, and we want to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you, Lord, for the scripture of this evening. Lord, what you have saved us from. And Lord, what easily in backsliding and in turning away from the practicing of your presence and lordship we could go into. But by your grace, Lord, we are privileged. Our bodies are a temple. And Lord, help us to glorify you. We're privileged and we're purchased, and we're to fulfill our purpose of glorifying you. And may we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Bless, Lord, those that cannot be with us tonight for one reason or another that precludes them from being with us. But, Lord, we ask that you would guide in every special need as we come before you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.